The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. So, some very sad news. That jogger that they had been looking for weeks has been found. Her name was Molly Tibbetts. And what happened was, you know, she just went missing one day. Nobody knew what happened to her. And there was a nationwide manhunt for her. She was a missing Iowa student. And it turns out that, they found her dead, unfortunately. And she was killed by an illegal alien. And so... Oh, wait, you can't call them illegal aliens anymore. It's a undocumented immigrant. She was killed by an undocumented immigrant. Well, you know, they keep changing names of things, don't they? So, but then that name eventually becomes tainted. So I think that the word undocumented immigrant pretty soon, they're going to have to change that one too, because that name is starting to get a little covered with mud also. So this undocumented immigrant, this illegal alien, kills her. And the news now goes from, you know, massive coverage to not quite as much coverage. I mean, I guess you could argue that the manhunt is over, right? They found her. We know what happened to her. It's not news anymore. So the news about her dies down for a little bit. But then... it cranks back up again. You could almost see the wheels turning in the heads of the people who run the newspaper and go, this is a big story. People want to know about this story. But, you know, we can't hit it too hard from this illegal alien angle, because then we'll lose a lot of the viewers. Or maybe it's because it doesn't fit with their agenda. You know, whatever the reason is, maybe they were told on high not to... you know, run too many stories about illegal immigrants killing people. Whatever the reason, they stop, it gets toned down now, right? You don't hear about it as much. Well, they've been running stories about it again. But now here's the type of stories that they've been running. Let me give you this one. You know what? I'm going to do the good one first. Let's hit the good one up first. The first story on this that I saw today when I opened up my newsfeed was this one here. This is great. The headline is odd development with Iowa murder suspect. So that was the first. That was the headline that kind of pulls you in, right? Now the headline is, once you click on the story, Iowa murder suspect lived on land owned by GOP fundraiser. So this illegal immigrant kills a lady, all right? And the story that gets run ties it to the GOP, which is insanity. So... and it's even worse than you would think. I mean, and this is why they're called fake news, okay? So not only do they tie it to the GOP, but here's the first paragraph. This is from the Associated Press, all right? Associated Press. A top Republican fundraiser whose firm works for several prominent immigration hardliners is a partial owner of the land where the Mexican man accused of killing Iowa college student Molly Tibbetts lived rent-free, a farm spokeswoman said Friday. Nicole Schlinger has long been a key fundraiser and campaign contractor for GOP politicians in Iowa and beyond, including this cycle for Senator Ted Cruz and Virginia Senate candidate Corey Stewart. She's the president of campaign headquarters, a call center that makes fundraising calls. Okay, so mission one accomplished. They have tied her to the GOP. Okay, so they're saying she's a fundraiser. She makes fundraising calls. She works for Ted, worked on behalf of Ted Cruz. And so basically they're saying, okay, so she's connected to the GOP. She doesn't, she's not a senator. She doesn't actually have the power to make any laws, but she does contribute, you know, she raises money for them. Okay, so she raises money for the GOP. Well, she says that she was gifted an interest of the a partial interest in this land from her husband's family. So her husband is the owner of the family-owned dairy that has acknowledged to providing employment and housing for the last 4 years to Christian Bahena Rivera, the man charged with the murder in Tibbetts' death. The couple, along with her husband's brother, Craig Lang, and his wife, own farmland outside Brooklyn that includes trailers where some of the dairy's employees live for free as a benefit of their employment, farm spokeswoman Eileen Wickstead confirmed. So, she said Rivera lived there for the duration of his employment, and about half of the farm's other 10 workers do as well. Under the arrangement, the farming company pays the couples to rent the land, but workers do not have to pay, she said. All right, so Schlinger, the GOP fundraiser, said that she was shocked and saddened by Tibbetts' death, and that she had never met Rivera. She was gifted an ownership interest in the land many years ago from her husband's family, and that she had no role in the farming operation. Then the story goes on to say, still, the fact that one of its own operatives had indirect ties to the case could complicate GOP efforts to highlight the gruesome slaying in its political messaging ahead of the November midterm election. And my friends, that is what it is all about, isn't it? Dairy co-owner, now here's what else they say. Dairy co-owner Craig Lang also was a Republican candidate for Iowa Agriculture Secretary, finishing third in a five-way race in the June primary. So they're just trying to get every single, you know, possible connection to the GOP to say, well, they can't really make a case, it's their fault. You know, in a way, right? It's their fault if they hadn't employed this person. And I think that you could make that argument, but that has nothing to do. And I mean, you can't make the argument that it's their fault, obviously. But I mean, you can make the argument that if you weren't employing illegals, that illegals would have less incentive to come here. I definitely think that that is absolutely true. But to take the murder and to try to take focus off of it by running a story like this, I think it's just so nasty, right? Republicans such as Donald Trump and Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds called for stricter immigration laws and enforcement almost immediately after Rivera, who is suspected of being in the country illegally, was charged Tuesday. Suspected, so they don't even know? Okay, so I'm going to have to look on that, because from what I had read, he is illegal. So I'm going to look that up real quick, just a second. Yeah, everywhere I'm looking says that he's an illegal immigrant. Now, I mean, I could understand an opinion piece, you know, not verifying that information, but this is from the Associated Press. I mean, this is who we get our news from. These guys are considered, like, there's a primary source, and then there's the Associated Press. These are the people that we're depending on for this information, and they say he's suspected. Just call down there and find out. So anyway, as you can see, they're trying to come up with anything to deflect, which I think it's a valid argument that, you know, if you're employing illegal immigrants, you could do it, but if you look at the news headlines that we're getting here, it just seems mighty suspect to me that so many of these are mentioning the GOP. Okay, here's another one. Molly Tibbetts' family is fighting back against the GOP's attempts to politicize her murder. So the GOP are bad guys for, you know, for pointing this out. You know, they say that the rate among the non-immigrant population of murder is much higher than it is among the immigrants. I don't know if they're including illegal immigrants. But even if that's true, I think that when you see a story that somebody was murdered, especially someone who people had spent so much time, I mean, it's bad when anybody gets murdered, but, you know, the whole nation now was looking at this. I think it's normal to cast a spotlight on it and go, you know, if we didn't have a terrible immigration policy, that this person would still be alive. Now, I can see, you know, liberals trying not to destroy their argument that people should be allowed into this country freely, getting in on this and saying, oh, well, you're blowing it out of proportion. But what I'm saying is that the person is dead, and she would be alive if this person wasn't in the country illegally. And it's not just her death. I mean, you know, anybody who's killed by somebody who shouldn't be here suffered now because of our crappy enforcement of the laws of the country that are already in place. All right, now let's see. Here's another story. Molly Tibbetts' family is fighting back against the GOP's attempts to politicize her murder. And you know, when I read that, I go, oh my goodness, well, if her father and mother are, you know, trying to say that, well, it's not because of the immigration policy, then maybe we are making too big of a deal about it. But what they're not saying is that it's not her immediate family that is complaining. So here's what they have here. It's her cousin. Let's see. Samantha Lucas, a member of the Tibbetts family. It's her cousin. So her cousin is saying that we shouldn't turn this into a political issue. And her aunt, Tibbetts' aunt, wrote on Facebook saying, please remember, evil comes in every color. Well, I don't think it's a... Is it a brown people issue? I don't think it's a brown people issue. I think it's an illegal, a person was here illegally issue. What if they were like a white Cuban? I mean, you still wouldn't really want them in the country illegally committing murder. Well, I mean, what if it was a black Canadian? I mean, I know that's a huge what if, but I'm just saying. You don't want, no matter what color the person is, if they're here legally committing murder, it's still a bad thing, and we should look at ways to stop them from coming in illegally. I don't think that has anything to do with the race of the person. Here's another article, Why the Right Needs to Stop Politicizing Molly Tibbetts' Death. So this is the right really needs to just calm down with all of this, you know, hoopla about getting mad just because a lady was killed by an illegal immigrant. I don't know why they're making such a big deal about it. Let's see. Here's another story. Now, I like this story a lot because it attacks it from another angle. And maybe the word attack is not a good phrase at the moment, but this story is just another way of bringing up the murder, but looking at it from a different angle. Molly Tibbetts' killing drives women to share harrowing stories of harassment while running. So there's been a manhunt on for Molly Tibbetts for over a month, but it's not until her killer is found to be and illegal that suddenly everyone it becomes news that people are sharing harrowing stories. Now, I'm certainly not saying that when you go out jogging and you get wolf whistled, that that's not harrowing. I'm not trying to diminish the experience of women who are running outside and some dude shouts out of his car, "Hey, baby." I'm just saying that it's a story that would not have been published if she hadn't been killed by a presumably illegal alien. When I was younger, you know, I'm walking outside and this car drives by and the dude starts yelling at me. It's very frightening. Once I'm walking outside by myself and someone throws a beer bottle at me. And I'm a guy. So now imagine if you're a lady and you've got, what are girls have, like 1/5 the strength of a man, half the strength of a man, something like that. And I've heard many stories of women who have gone out and weird guys are like calling them, catcalling them. Who was it that somebody was out? Was this you? Somebody is out and this car pulls up and people start coming out like they're going to grab her. This was you. Yeah, okay, so this is my girlfriend. People come out like they're going to grab her, and she gets away. But could you imagine? They might have kidnapped her. I mean, this is something that happens all the time. But what I'm pointing out here is that this is a story that I am seeing now in relation to her getting killed by an illegal alien. Now, I do understand that, you know, when something occurs, you start thinking about it. And so I could see stories like this coming out. But it's just odd to me that this wasn't run until August 24th. Now, suddenly, it's something that we should be paying attention to. It seems like it's meant to deflect to me. Now, here's another story out today. This is from People magazine. Molly Tibbetts murder suspect is loving father to girl should be presumed innocent. Now, that's the attorney that says that. Now, the attorney is also arguing that he's not illegal. So, maybe all of this defensiveness is for no reason. He says Rivera was recruited from Mexico at age 17 to work in the dairy industry and was just a part of the community, all-American boy working really hard. Is that when they say someone's an all-American boy, and I could be mistaken about this term. I've never looked the term up in a dictionary or anything like that. But when they say all-American boy, the first image that hits my mind is not a 17-year-old Mexican. Now, again, I mean, we are an inclusive country here. But when his lawyer is describing him as an all-American boy working really hard, and that is preceded by the sentence, recruited from Mexico at age 17, to me that is those things don't line up smoothly in my head. I suppose I could be a racist. But I'm just saying that in my skewed view of the world, when someone says all-American, I don't immediately picture a 17-year-old Mexican. So, that again, that's just me. All right, let's see what else we got here. Let's go to CNN's feed. Oh, this is interesting. Time Magazine's latest Trump cover shows a depiction of the president drowning in the Oval Office. I mean, why? What is this, man? Come on. So there's a comment down below that has this picture photoshopped with him laughing, and it says he's drowning in liberal tears, and that's about right. I mean, this is just craziness, man. All right. Well, this is from here in Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Now, she is. If you guys remember, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was ahead of the DNC, right? Running the damn thing. It turns out when the emails came out, John Podesta's emails. It turns out that Debbie Wasserman Schultz specifically was fixing things in Bernie Sanders' favor. Okay? So she is resigns in disgrace from the DNC and ends up on Hillary Clinton's campaign. Of course she does. I mean, of course she does. So now you would think there's no way, you would think that she couldn't win for dog catcher, right? She wins her election here in Florida. Well, Tim Canova, who was running against her, she wins her primary. So what happens, right? What happens? Because Tim Canova says that her opponent says that he was going around and that their polling said that there was no way on God's green was she going to win. Okay? So he demands to see the paper ballots. You're not going to believe this, guys, or maybe you will. The paper ballots are destroyed. So here in this story, a Florida judge ruled that the ballots were illegally destroyed in the Wasserman Schultz race. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz claims that she had nothing to do with it, which is, again, you know, kind of a shock, right? But this all went down in May, you know, so nobody batted an eyelid, right? Nobody batted an eyelash. Nobody paid any attention to this. Well, Tim Canova did, and so now he is suing, and he is outright claiming that he believes, well, I'm going to play the clip.
How much did you lose by, according to the official count?
According to the official count, 13 percentage points, about 6,000 votes.
Yeah, so do you think that there's really some chance that they just stole it? Like, don't get me wrong. I think the shredding the paper documents is outrageous, right? And
yes.
And the whole idea that these voting machines are proprietary and so no citizen can actually verify the vote is maddening and completely unacceptable. But do you think that they actually rigged the vote so that you would have won otherwise?
My gut tells me they did. I'm sorry to say, who commits felonies by tearing up paper ballots, by destroying them while litigation is pending, while they're the subject of litigation, if they're not trying to hide something?
Guys, is that insane? So Tim Canova, who is running as an independent candidate, is alleging that Debbie Wasserman Schultz stole the election. And, you know, after seeing it happening already, it happened to Bernie. I mean, they did steal it, right? Do I have to say that they stole it in my opinion? Because in my opinion, they absolutely stole it. There's no question that they stole the primary. Hillary Clinton stole the damn primary from Bernie Sanders. So now Tim Canova is alleging that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has stolen her primary race. So, man, what if it comes out that she did steal? Are they even going to do anything, though? Is it illegal? Is it bad I even have to ask that? Well, Debbie has claimed that Deb claims that she had no knowledge of the burning and it had nothing to do with it. She was not connected with it at all. But here's a quote from Debbie Wasserman Schultz during the presidential primary.
Well, first of all, let me just reiterate again that the Democratic National Committee is neutral when it comes to this primary.
And then this report shortly thereafter.
Amidst an email scandal showing a concerted effort to help Hillary Clinton win the party nomination, Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been forced to resign as chair of the Democratic Party.
So Wasserman Schultz said one thing, and then it turns out another thing was happening. So I don't know what you would call that. I mean, is there a word in English that would describe that situation? I don't have a single word that would describe it. Perhaps the listeners at home could determine, or in their cars could determine a word that would best describe Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her ilk. But I have got to go, kids. Thank you for joining me again this week for the